is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes! It's still a dynasty!
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3, then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their 6th Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, 6, baby! 6, that's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number 6!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. We live in a nation where people work very hard, and where the economy, although it is often touted as being very robust, while the numbers of jobs that are created are touted as being very high, often those jobs are the sort which necessitate the working of 3 or 4 of them in order to just get by. And while stock market numbers are certainly going through the roof, that is not the case for the incomes and for the lives of millions of Americans. One story that we're going to bring to you today is that of Stephanie Land. She is the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. Stephanie, thank you for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is the background to this story? You sought work as a maid, or I should say it differently. That was the work that really was available to you, given your circumstances. What were your circumstances, and what led you to be in this kind of employment?
Well, it was the height of the recession. So, mm-hmm. you know, 2008, 2009, and all of the jobs that I applied for were being filled by people who had been laid off and, you know, had even, you know, master's degrees and loads mm-hmm. of experience. And I had spent my 20s working customer service, you know, doggy daycares and coffee shop jobs, and had never had any problem finding a job. But suddenly, now that I had this requirement where I had to work during daycare hours, it was incredibly hard to find an entry-level position. And the house cleaning was the only thing that I could find eventually.
Right. And tell us about that requirement. I mean, you're referring to your daughter, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, you know, what happened with you, her father, and what the circumstances were, and, you know, trying to make a living.
Well, I think when you discover that you're going to have a baby, you want to be filled with as much hope as possible. And I tried to be realistic and, you know, saw that I was older, you know, I was 28. I wasn't a teenager and didn't know anything about the world and how it works. And so I conferred with a lot of my friends and relatives, and they all kind of nodded and said it would be fine and we would all be fine. And by the time she was, I'd say 7 or 8 months old, I was surprisingly in a situation where I could not fall back on my family for support. They simply couldn't afford to support me. And her dad was incredibly angry and showed that in pretty harmful and emotionally abusive ways. Mm-hmm. And so we found ourselves living in a homeless shelter.
We're speaking with Stephanie Land. She is the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. What was that like, living in a homeless shelter with your daughter? It seems to me from having read the beginning of your book that you were shuffled at least once from one place to another in the middle of when you were trying to get back on your feet. I know that's often how the support systems through the government exist. It seems tremendously frustrating to me, but what was your journey through these different situations in terms of housing?
I think housing insecurity is the biggest amount of stress that I have ever experienced. And I think that is a scary situation for people to imagine. Just, you know, not having a home. Like, where would you live if you can't crash on a friend's couch or you can't go stay with your family for a few days until you get back on your feet? It's really bewildering. And often it was like the feeling of being just shell-shocked. Like, I was not really living in myself at that point. It was just having this extreme feeling of how in the world did I get here, and how am I going to get out of this? And not really having any answers.
You described a situation in which you had to move out of the cabin that you were living in after 90 days. How on earth do you expect a mother taking care of a little baby to get back on her feet with no other means of support after 90 days? I mean, how could you structure things that way? I mean, it's almost set up to fail. I mean, it really seems like there is something fundamentally wrong with the safety net that at this point we are providing for people who are in this situation. And people seem to get into this situation an awful lot.
I agree, and I think it's shocking that we still require work requirements you know, 20 hours a week of work in order to get food. And we're not talking about a lot of food here. It's like a dollar plus per meal per person. I don't understand why we're forcing people to go to such great lengths to prove that they're fulfilling this requirement just because we don't trust them. And it's not like it's taking up a huge part of the budget. Like all of the safety net programs, you know, that's everything except Medicaid. So that includes child care, low-income housing. That's only 9% of our tax budget. And so it's really not that much money. But people act like it's this huge amount because they think people are purposefully not working in order to get this supplement. But what it's really doing is supplementing low wages.
Right. What do you think it is? Because I have noticed that psychological phenomenon as well, where people are, you know, are paranoid almost about the idea of that people who are poor should receive any sort of benefit because somehow they are likely to be cheating the system. And yet we see enormous contractors through the government of one sort or another, you know, receiving enormous amounts, in many cases, you know, thousands of times more than the small amount that people who are hungry receive, and they won't think twice about it. In fact, they will become upset if you say, well, we have to get rid of this because you are attacking a quote-unquote job creator. How do you think people come to that mental state where there is such an imbalance in terms of support systems and how much money is placed towards them?
I just watched a documentary on HBO while I was on the road about Martin Luther King, and he said something. He said subsidies are acceptable, but welfare is you know, it's a degrading position to be asking and for that, and we don't like to give it out because it's not acceptable. And I think it just goes back to this this American myth that we're fed, where if you work hard enough, then you'll make it in this country. And so if you're not making it, then you're not working hard enough. And so you've kind of brought it on yourself, whereas people who are making it will reward them for that and help them bigger, higher rateness. And it really is backwards to me. I think, you know, we like to create this narrative, you know, that Reagan started with the welfare queen. And then we have this catchphrase of sitting on the couch eating bonbons all day. I think we have so many misconceptions and stigmas related to people in low class positions and in poverty and in systemic poverty. And a lot of those have racial undertones. A lot of them, just, we have the assumption that they're uneducated and not able to budget financially. And when really it's just, I mean, how would they even know how to do that when they don't have anything to budget for or budget with? Like I could talk all day about it. I think that's the main thing, is just we don't like giving people handouts, especially when we're telling ourselves that they put themselves in this situation because of bad decisions that they made.
We have to take a quick break. We will be back in a moment to continue our interview with Stephanie Land. She is the author of Made: Hard Work, Low Pay, and a Mother's Will to Survive. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin.
Experts agree, for retirement success, you must have enough income. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we utilize strategies that pay. By performing an asset reset, we reposition portfolios built around income. If you're actively saving, have $150,000 with big plans for more, and want to learn how to generate income for retirement,
call 866-913-1234, 866-913-1234, to speak to an income specialist, 866-913-1234.
To learn how to transform your risky Wall Street portfolio into sustained retirement retirement income.
Call 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234.
Mike Hewitt here. Under President Trump, our unemployment claims are at a 49-year low. Highest employment for Black, Hispanic, and female Americans. A second summit with North Korea, and they haven't fired a rocket in 15 months. America, the world energy producer, finally again. Trump's winding down decades-long wars while rebuilding the military and trying to seek a mutually agreeable path to secure our southern border. Median household income highest ever recorded. Almost 3.9 million Americans lifted off of food stamps. Biggest tax cuts and reforms in history, bringing hundreds of billions back to America, and so much more. No wonder they want to get rid of them. Wait, what? Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Stephanie Land. She's the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. You mentioned the concept of the welfare queen that came about during the Reagan administration. Given what you've been through, what's the reality of being on welfare in America? You're right, it's not sitting on a couch eating bonbons. What is it actually like, especially as a single mom, being on food stamps? I mean, what's the reality of living day to day?
Well, I like to come up with an example that I used in the book of my caseworker for my child care grant called me and said, you handed in a handwritten pay stub, and that's not going to work. We need a real one. Or I'm going to immediately cut off your benefit. And so that means I wouldn't have childcare in order to work. And I was on the phone, like, sobbing with this woman, because how am I supposed to take time off work to go down to this office and wait for hours to get this pay stub that they think is acceptable and one that they believe me is real? Mm-hmm. And you're caught up against that so much, where, you know, you have a 50-cent raise and then you have a recertification for food stamps, and suddenly you lose, you know, $100 in your food benefit because of that raise. You're constantly pushed up against this thing called the welfare cliff or the benefits mm-hmm. cliff. And I think I read a study recently where a single mom making $10 an hour receiving government benefits like Medicaid, childcare, food assistance, in order to successfully jump off that welfare cliff, her wages would have to increase to $33 an hour.
Right.
And when we're still fighting for 15, like, how are we supposed to be expected to achieve that?
We really need to begin shifting the whole way in which we think, because you're right. People are still saying, oh, $15 an hour is too much. Have you tried to live on even that? And it's getting worse every day because there is inflation, and you have to just have a different way of thinking about it. You have to be in the mindset of what is enough. And referring back to your circumstances with the welfare office, and you have to dot this I and cross this T, get everything just right. Like, the onus of everything is on you. It's a death by a thousand cuts sort of situation, and you have to go to each individual office, because nothing is unified in this world, is it? You have to go to a welfare office, you have to go to a WIC office, you have to go, like there's nothing consolidated. So you're spending your time that you could be using to earn money, tracking down all these little administrative details. You want to pull your hair out.
Yeah, and it wasn't always like that. When I first started, you could go online or go down to the office and fill out one application, and that application mm-hmm. could qualify you for cash assistance, for SNAP, for childcare, for Medicaid. And because you qualified for one or all of those things, then you were automatically enrolled in the free school lunch program or, you know, utility assistance or anything like that. And they've been slowly changing that. I think just recently with the SNAP program reform through the Farm Bill, they were trying to take away the connection between qualifying for SNAP and qualifying for LIHEAP, which is the utility assistance program. And so you suddenly have to make two different appointments instead of just one, and it's two different packets, and it's, you have to prove your need and your work schedule twice. And I mean, even at the time that I was at, like 10 years ago, I carried around a folder of everything that I would possibly need,
yeah,
both to prove that I didn't have any assets and to prove that I was working. And because it seemed like I was constantly having to prove myself.
We're speaking with Stephanie Land. She's the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. You've said a couple of different times that this happened at the height of the recession, and there's someone that would say, well, there are many more jobs now, and the economy is better, and perhaps to a degree that is true. What's your take on that? Do you think things have changed? It seems to me, at any rate, that in some ways, especially what you described just now in terms of benefits, it's actually gotten worse.
Well, I think there are probably more available jobs, but I think there's still entry-level positions. And when you're starting over, especially if you have some kind of criminal record or you have a lack of access to transportation, you have kids, you still don't qualify for those, you know, prime hours that someone with experience with the company already has. And the wages have not increased very much at all. Or I don't think they have increased much at all. And so I think a family of four, the two adults in the household, would have to work three full-time minimum wage jobs apiece in order to just meet their basic living expenses. And so if you think about it, like, how is that even possible when you take into, like, right. this need to spend time with your children. I mean, when is that ever going to happen?
Right. I've heard many people say that it would be easier just to give people money directly. I spoke a few months back with a historian and political theorist named Rutger Bregman, who is an advocate of a universal basic income. And there are others on the right who agree with this concept because they say it would actually save money in the long run to, rather than paying people to get dribs and drabs of aid, just eliminate the middleman, cut people a check. What's your thought about that?
Oh, I think that's a fantastic idea. I'm totally on board with the UBI. But I think that the assumption that poor people are kind of thieves and that they're just like trying to steal taxpayers' money, we don't trust poor people's decision making. And so we don't want to give them money outright, even though, you know, food stamps does not cover toiletries or diapers or, you know, anything like that. And so there were months that I had $50 left, not only for spending money, but for toiletries. And that takes a lot out of you. And I would have given anything to just have a certain amount of months that I could depend on and budget for. Especially single parents, you know, they don't always get child support. They don't always get the benefits that they need. And just having this universal amount that we all get, I think would alleviate a lot of stress on those people who are in, like, the most dire forms of poverty, where they're donating blood plasma to get by.
We have to take another quick break, but we'll be back in a moment to continue our interview with Stephanie Lynn. She's the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and a Mother's Will to Survive. You're listening to Beowulf Rocklin on Now It's the News.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Billions and 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 billions.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And now, it's the news.
Again, we're speaking with Stephanie Lamb, the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. When you were cleaning these houses as a maid, what did you see there, and what did it tell you about the impact that the economic system that we have been discussing right now has on people who are doing relatively well, economically speaking?
Well, it seemed to me that my clients had living spaces that were not entirely used, mm-hmm. and it also seemed like they weren't home very much, and I assumed that they were working a lot. And that didn't make sense to me, and I kind of felt for them, like, you have bought this house and you have filled it with all of these things and these recreational vehicles in your garage, but you're paying me to dust places and clean places that aren't even getting used, and yet you're still working hard to keep that up. And
right.
somehow there was like a huge disconnect there for me. Like, why does it matter that you have all of these huge spaces in your house? Like, is it just for show, or is it, you know, is it like a situation that you found yourself in that you're having a harder time affording now? And so I was really curious about that. And it was kind of like a step into this whole new world that for me meant nothing but rainbows and unicorns and happiness. And I'm kind of learning that that they are affected by the common cold, you know, and the everyday ailments that that I struggled with, like, affected people in these huge houses that, you know, I imagined meant perfection and happiness and happily ever after.
These people don't seem particularly satisfied. It seems to me that you're creating a huge majoritarian mass of people on one side of the spectrum who are just struggling to get by and virtually on the edge at any point of falling into the precipice of economic, you know, doom, and on the other, a much smaller number of people who are reaping the rewards of the system, and yet they really don't even have the capacity, because they're just one human being, to absorb all of that. I mean, how big a house can you wander through? How many suits can you wear? And it would seem to me, and I know there's so many arguments that are made against this, and we need to incentivize people to achieve, and there's something to that. But when it ends up at a point where there is such an imbalance, I mean, how do we adjust a system like that? How do we go about changing that in a way that acknowledges what people have in their heads, and that so much of this is entrenched as a means of doing things and has been for such a long time?
Oh, I think visibility is key. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was on book tour for the last couple of weeks, I started kind of counting how many people were invisibly making my life easier. Mm-hmm. And it went from, you know, the person opening the door for me in the hotel to the janitor in the airport changing the bag of trash, the cooks in the kitchen, the busboy, like you can go like on and on and on and on. And but these people are hardly ever noticed or even looked at, or, you know, hardly ever make eye contact. And we don't remind ourselves that they're getting paid very little money. They probably have no benefits and are struggling to just get through the day and do that job and possibly go on to another one so that they can support their families. But their job is to make our lives easier. And I think that just illustrates that whole scenario that we're in of like the separation of the two classes is getting bigger and bigger. And I think it's just because there's a huge disconnect between us and them, or, you know, between all of that, because we're not relating to each other as human beings, and we're not empathizing with each other.
Yeah. Some would say, well, you've managed to write this book. You subsequently you took courses in creative writing. You have been in the national spotlight, and you've managed to overcome this. But I heard you discuss in another interview that you gave recently that you are still struggling, that you are still in debt, that you are in a place where you will have to be finding another living situation yourself. And I think, not that I want to focus on that in particular, in a way I do, because I think it reveals that the people that we assume should be in a very comfortable position, in a very secure position, are not necessarily so. And I think it's useful to talk about. What's your experience with achieving the level of notoriety that you have so far while still living a regular life?
Oh, it's crazy. But I mean, it's also, I am always in a position where I am kind of waiting for the rug to be pulled out from under me. Like, I really don't believe things until I see it. And, you know, even though the book is doing really well and everything is blowing up, like, that doesn't mean that I'm going to get like a lifetime of royalties that's going to buy me a house or anything. You know, I'm still going to be scrambling, and I'm still going to be working full time. Just right now, I'm given the opportunity to work full time on promoting a book, which is still kind of blowing my mind. But, you know, I think as you were talking, I was thinking about all of the people who were coming out with these stories of not being able to buy groceries after not getting two paychecks during the government shutdown. And we were all kind of surrounding these stories and comforting them and supporting them. But the real story here was that this is a government position and these people don't have savings accounts. Like, they're still living paycheck to paycheck. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, what we like to pretend is not there. We don't want to think about our neighbors struggling or our relatives struggling, because often we don't have the ability to help them. And so we just kind of assume that everybody's fine, because assuming that we need to help people is overwhelming. Like, what do you do? Like, do you order them pizza?
Yeah.
And so I think the less that that we shame this narrative of struggling, like, the less that that's a shameful thing to admit, then I would hope that we were able to come together in our own communities and support each other more.
I think that a lot of folks go around with the concept in their heads of, you know, how much money somebody is supposed to make. And in a lot of cases, because it's not something that we talk about a lot, it's something that we're very uncomfortable talking about. Because you're right, we do feel insecure. I mean, what would we do? There isn't too much that we could do. But we have maybe concepts from a generation ago about what people make or what people should make. And so when we see the numbers because of inflation or because of what's actually necessary to get by, that seems, oh, gosh, that's too much. $15 an hour, that's not how much I grew up with. But it doesn't take current reality into account. And so maybe there should be some sort of national project where people just come out and in some public forum, and I know it's very difficult because people don't like to talk about it, and there's tremendous shame or guilt associated with the number, but just say, I make this much. I wish there were some way of discussing that in a way that we realized what that number was and what the significance of that was for both that individual and for the rest of society. I think having that conversation would be tremendously useful.
I agree. We're kind of punished for asking for our time to be worthwhile. And when really our time is very worthwhile and we should get paid a living wage.
It's a mantra that we all need to repeat to ourselves, or a bumper sticker that we need to put on the back of our cars. Ask for more.
I
think it's important to do that in a lot of different ways and in a lot of different situations. We've been speaking with Stephanie Land. She is the author of Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. Stephanie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
You're listening to Beowulf Rockland on Now It's the News.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus, smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland. We hear all sorts of things these days about how the world is ending, that there is calamity and tragedy, and we're just on the precipice. And there's a lot going on for sure, but how much should we be reacting to this, especially in the environmental realm? There's been a lot in the news in that way, and here to discuss it with us is Heather Reams. She is the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions. Heather, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
So what we've seen recently is the idea of a Green New Deal. This is something that Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has come out with. What exactly is contained in this Green New Deal, and why are they calling it a Green New Deal anyway?
I think the idea is actually to solve, I think, was to solve issues having to do with a change in climate and more and seeing more dramatic weather changes. Things, of course, in the United States like wildfires and more robust hurricanes and tornadoes. So it was an idea to solve climate change in some way. Now, it's not exactly what we're seeing in a Green New Deal. They've pulled off the New Deal part from Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Right.
And they're trying to build up a, infrastructure, if you will, and a more of a right of center or left of center manifesto for all things that, radical liberals want. Mm-hmm. So now it's hard to say it's just about solving a climate change issue and more about really a manifesto of what the left would like to see.
I know there have been a lot of market-based solutions, whether you're talking about a carbon tax or a tax incentives of various kinds for businesses to change their habits. And this seems to be a little intensive than that. The incentives are gone. These really seems to fall into the category of mandates. Tell us what's on this kind of laundry list of the Green New Deal.
You're right, and this is very much more of a federal command and control in solving climate change or reducing emissions in so we have cleaner air and cleaner water. Not everyone is in favor of clean air and clean water. I think it's how we get there. Green New Deal is going to ensure that the government is building massive infrastructures for renewable energy, getting rid of all fossil fuels to include natural gas and coal, petroleum. It's going to retrofit every building in America, including your homes, to make sure they're energy efficient.
Hmm.
Again, the question really is how we're going to pay for something like this. The idea
right.
of being energy efficient, it makes sense. But how we're going to pay for it is just really getting out of hand.
Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is she's got a lot of political allies, including Bernie Sanders of Vermont. He is proposing free health care. He's proposing free college tuition. And now it seems like we're adding to that with all of what would be necessary for this Green New Deal. What is the price tag here? How much are they proposing to charge the taxpayers for this?
Well, the taxpayers wouldn't possibly be able to pay for it. We're looking at upwards of $17 trillion a year,
wow.
Considering that our spending in the United States is a fraction of that. It just doesn't make sense. And don't forget, this is all supposed to be done in 10 years.
Good grief.
According to the Green New Deal.
That's not going to be a small amount that's tacked on to the national debt. That almost doubles it, if you think about it. We're speaking with Heather Reams. She is the executive director of Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions. Now, clearly, there are some steps that we have to take, and it certainly seems like Republicans should come forward with their solutions. Has there been anything that they have proposed that is a little bit more practical in terms of the scale?
We've actually been seeing some Republican leadership. I wouldn't call it in a way of championing it, but they've been doing it in different ways. It's just
mm-hmm.
that maybe the ends and what we're getting there and lowering emissions are there. It's just the means and how we're doing it are different. So a lot of it is tax incentives. With the tax reform package we had with Congress, we saw a lot of great incentives, not to mention just lowering the corporate tax rate. So there can be more investments in research and development, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But there are tax credits for having more efficiency, more efficient manufacturing, a Q45 tax, which basically is helping to further carbon capture sequestration and cleaner coal, taking the carbon out of the atmosphere, and more investment in R&D, both on the federal and on the public side, the private side, to make sure we have more public-private partnerships and there's tax incentives to go in the right direction, rather than having that heavy federal-handed mandate. So Republicans have been walking this walk. I think what we need to see in terms of a response to a Green New Deal, for instance, is a champion of some of these ideas, that we're packaging them in some way that would include other pieces in infrastructure like grid modernization and
mm-hmm.
Transmission lines that can really work with renewable and other pieces of clean energy. And combine that into a package, into a vision that the American people should be able to evaluate. I think we're going to have, American people are pragmatic people. I think they're going to want this, because with it, you're also going to get, continue to have lower costs in your energy bills, but you're also going to have great paying jobs. You're strengthening the national security of our nation, and you're preserving the environment. It's a win-win.
Right. It really seems that if you go through the process of renewing the infrastructure, if you're talking about making things more efficient, then you not only reduce your carbon footprint, but you also make it more viable for American manufacturing as opposed to sending jobs overseas. So you're serving the dual purpose of helping the environment and renewing excellent American jobs as well. And that doesn't seem to be something that Green New Deal is addressing in that way.
It's not. And in fact, it's a little troublesome to look at what the Green New Deal is doing, because it would drive out manufacturing jobs. We've already seen some flight before. We're seeing it come back in. And part of that reason is because energy costs are lower than they have been in a long, long time. And as the president was just saying in his State of the Union address, we're an exporter of energy. Anything we're growing here at home, including energy, and that can be whether it's natural gas or coal, but it also includes renewable energy and nuclear. These are things, if we're an exporter, that means the prices are driving down at home to make goods and services. That means we can have those jobs here. If we're making it more expensive and getting rid of market forces, we're going to drive up costs, manufacturing's going, and nobody wins. And then the idea, secondly, of the idea of, like, you can either have a clean environment and no manufacturing, that binary choice, it doesn't exist. But I think a lot of people on the right would argue we can have both. People on the left will scare you to death and say, oh, no, it's one or the other.
And it seems like there are a few individuals, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, for example, who are advocates of clean coal, who might be able to help bridge that partisan divide, and hopefully we can foster that. Are there any signs that there might be an opportunity in Congress to work together on this kind of thing?
I think so. With his now being a ranking member on the Senate committee that oversees the Department of Energy and others, I think he can be that common sense voice. Mind you, there was some concern from the left, from his party, about him being that ranking member and not, you know, holding the fort down for liberals. But at the end of the day, he is someone who's got the realistic of the brokering of, we have been a nation of fossil fuels. We are making that transition. We need to make it in a fair and just way to workers. We all want clean air. We all want clean water. It's how we get there together. Joe Manchin, I think, is the right kind of voice to moderate that, so we can work together and come up with some real solutions.
Well, it sounds like there is some hope in the face of extremism. We've been speaking with Heather Reams. She is the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions. Heather, where can folks find out more information about what you are doing?
Absolutely. On the web, www.citizensfor.com.
Heather Reams, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions, thanks so much for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Thank you.
Happy trails.
That's all the time we have today on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by yours truly, Beowulf Rocklin. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, keep smiling through, just like you always do.
Happy trails.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3, then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby. Six. That's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.